birthday.
He's not everywhere in pagan pantheism. He's inside of you. The God of the universe is inside of you. We are tabernacles of God. But see, most Catholics are pagans. They go to church, they look really holy. I can't take holy from people. They bother me, right? I'm saying holiness is real, but it's nothing. Jesus, if you saw him, you would not be attracted to him at first. That's why they killed him. He made people unhappy. And so when people are able to exalt their righteousness, oh, look how holy I am. Don't buy it. Show me your holy. Give up your life. Be a man of prayer. So anyway, here we are. Just you and I are the temples of the living God. We are the place where God dwells. So you go to church on Sunday, you look all holy, you receive communion, oh, look how holy I am. And you spend a couple of minutes extra, and then you go, you yell at everybody in the park, like, get out of here! You drive like a pig. You might not be married, having sex outside of marriage. You might be committing adultery. You might be sitting there looking at pornography. All these things you do. Well, Father, it's different. Look how holy I am in church. And look what I am outside. Gentlemen, no matter where you are, you make God. So you and I should be living as if we're always in final blessed sight. That's a man of integrity. Gentlemen, are we men of integrity? Are we are who we are no matter where we are? Huh? Am I am who I am when I'm living before Jesus in the blessed sight? Am I am who I am if I'm going out and have a beer with my friends? You're allowed to do that, you know. Am I am who I am when I'm at work making money? Am I am who I am when I'm having sex with my wife? Am I am who I am when I'm sitting there with my children? Am I a man of integrity? This is me, and I always know I'm in front of God with first because he lives inside. And that's why you and I, that's why we see the Eucharist. You know, we're supposed to be focusing on Eucharist today. Living the Eucharist. What it means to live the Eucharist, gentlemen, is you and I gotta die. We need men who live to die for Jesus. Huh? You young men here, I think that poor child here from walking over. This guy was just minding his own business, and I went, son, be a priest. I said, yeah, you be a priest. Because we need men who can be priests nowadays. To be willing to lay down your life. You know, once I was in Springfield speaking at a youth conference, and there was almost 2,500 kids there. And it was in the conference, and we're on a stage like this. And I said to the boys, I started with the boys first, and I said, gentlemen, how many of you are men now to be a priest of Jesus Christ? How many of you be willing to lay down your life for Jesus? We don't need any wimpy priests, God forbid. We need priests who are going to lay down their life every day for Jesus Christ in the church. How many of you boys are open to that? I want you to come down here and stand on the stage. You know how many boys I had come down? 400. And there are beautiful nuns there. Beautiful nuns. Full habits, one around, smiling, happy, everything else. I said, see girls, see these brides of Jesus Christ. How many of you are open to being a nun of Jesus? To being his spouse? And I said, girls are better than any man you ever find on this earth. Let me give you a hint. How many of you are willing to open? Come down and stand on the stage. How many girls they have come down? Over 500. When we see people that are living in faith, they're not embarrassed by it, they're taking stands. This is who I am no matter where I am. I love Jesus Christ. I'm willing to lay down my life. Well, if you and I are willing to lay down our life, let us start by laying down our life when it comes to our you can help someone have abortion in your thoughts, your actions yourself. If you're not married, oral sex before marriage, intercourse before marriage. If you have, if you are married, you commit artificial birth control, have you committed adultery? Have you used, have you lied and cheated and stolen? Have you gossiped? Have you been jealous? Have you got drunk? Have you got high? Have you been judgmental? Have you been proud? You consistently take care of the poor. Is there anything else? Now, normally it's yes, 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 yes. Go ahead.
I know. Priests use God's name in vain. I know daily mass people use God's name in vain. I
Nobody asked you. Huh? You're not the God of the universe. Isn't it amazing? And the same people that will not listen to God, the same ones in their family, that they think we need to bond, we need to have a vote on this, right? So let's say you have 5 kids, you tell your kids, hey kids, I love you. Because I love you and I want to. Okay? And your kids get together and they vote. And they sit there and they say, Dad, you love us, right? Yes, I do. Because you love us, we took a vote and we decided we were committed.
Hold a couple of days. If you hate anyone,
our wives, our kids.
Don't get me mad! Don't get me mad!
And then you go crazy on them. Well, that shows how weak you are. You do realize anger is never the problem. Anger is a simple, deeper problem. The deeper problem is either fear or hurt. If you're afraid or you're hurting, it comes out to protect you, you get angry. So we've got to have that healed by Jesus. And let Jesus heal us. Let him set us free from our mad hurt, or set us free from our fear, so that we can be people of love. Now, so, have you helped someone have an abortion? Gentlemen of God, you and I got to be people of love to go to heaven. You know, I'm sick of this stuff people go around and say, I can be pro-choice and I can be Catholic.
Absolutely, you cannot. You cannot sit there and say, it's okay to kill a baby. Absolutely not. And the people that say it are evil. And if you think it, it's time to repent. You must change your heart and your mind. I am sick of the living.
If someone were to sit here and there was your child right there, and they had a gun against your baby's head, would you do everything in your power to stop that? And if you would, then you better stand up for what's right now, because they're killing millions of babies. If I put a gun in your head now, it's wrong, correct? If I put a gun in you when you were 2 months old, I would kill you, it'd be wrong. If I put a gun in your head right when you came out of your mother, it'd be wrong. If I put a gun in your head when you were inside your mother 6 months old, I would kill you. If I put a gun in you, as soon as your mom and dad got together one day, it would you. If I killed you then, you would not exist. Life is life. And we need to start taking stands against the culture that says it's not. And if people don't like us, oh well, are we men now to start responding to things and saying, it's okay to do it, to do it. So gentlemen, I have heard thousands and thousands and thousands of abortion confessions about these 23 years. I never once yelled at anybody for abortion. I feel so bad. Because they become, for the rest of their life, they become a victim. They die inside 2 days and kill their child. So if you ever had someone have an abortion, especially if it was yours, this is what you got to do to be forgiven. You got to confess it today. No priest is going to know what you trust. Then you got to ask God if he gave you a boy or a girl. Then you got to reach into heaven, and you got to name your son or daughter. And then you reach to heaven, and you ask them by name for forgiveness. And then you'll experience the mercy of God. Because your son and daughter is standing before God right now. And they've been praying for you to come home. And they will stand next to you when you're in judgment. So proud that you said you were sorry. You moved on. Until you have that sorrow, you tell them you're sorry. Specifically because they're lying. You're always going to have this guilt. But once you release them and ask them for mercy, God for mercy, then you get a new life. Gentlemen, let's be clear. Christianity is never the focus on self. It's always the forgetfulness of self. Always. It's the forgetfulness of self. The devil will try to remind you and me to keep us focused on self, my holiness or my sinfulness, whatever it is, and keep us focused on our past. That's not what God wants us to confess. Jesus said, you look at me and you look at the future. That's what I want you to do. Stop wasting all this time on yourself and your past. You can't do a damn thing about it. Focus on me and focus on the future. Don't focus on you, don't focus on the past. Gentlemen, once you finally get rid of some of these sins you've been holding on to all these years, you're free. You're free. Huh? And some of you think, well, compared to others, well, I don't have much to confess. Really. The people that are closest to God know how sinful they are. The people who are farthest from God think that they're not very sinful. It's like today I think the sun is shining out. The sun is shining out there. You ever been in a room where the sun is coming down real strong? You can see that the sun is so intense, it's going through the, you can see the dust everywhere. You ever see that? Well, that's a soul with the sanctifying grace of God. God's presence is so lighting in there, it can see all the sinfulness, all the selfishness. But if you go to a dark room where there's no sun, there's no light, it can be filthy dirt. There can be dirt everywhere. But you don't know. So is a soul that is getting no longer sanctified by grace. So is a soul that's far from God. It thinks it's very cool. It thinks it has no nerve. conference a little bit ago, well, a couple years ago now. There was a guy who was in the 80s, in a medical profession for 50 years. And before he started sobbing uncontrollably. He said, just relax, just relax. He says, Father, you think God will forgive me? You think God will forgive me? You think God will forgive me? My heart is broken. I said, of course he'll forgive you. You know, the whole reason Jesus Christ died on the cross was to forgive us. You know, I am not here just to make you feel guilty today. No, I know you feel guilty. I am here to set you free. But you've got to know your sinfulness so you can take responsibility for it. Like the last thing I want to hear today is a good confession or any other reason they want to hear is, Father, yeah, I did this, but God did it. I don't want to hear your excuse. Because if you have an excuse, you didn't commit the sin. It was the excuse that made you. Who did that first? Adam. Why did you sin? What did he say? He made an excuse. It was the woman. She made me do it. Really? So, gentlemen, don't make excuses for your sins today. Don't tell me why this is an answer. You know, it was only a good day. And I'm like, shut up. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, I don't put on because I'm lonely. Shut up. Start taking responsibility. I did this because I wanted to. That's all of us, gentlemen. I sin.
Yeah.
you, I said, must they confess his sin? Just say, Father, I was impure with myself. Father will understand what you mean. He's not going to say, how do you do that exactly? Father! You know, now, true story. Diocese Grant in Pennsylvania, this is years ago. A pastor didn't like the word masturbation, so he told the people, I don't like the word. So what I want you to do is if you do that, when you go to confession, just say, Father, I love my country. Okay? So people would come into confession, bless you, Father, I was in 6 months of my confession. I love my country 20-some times since my last confession, whatever it is. Or bless you, Father, I was in 1 week since my last confession. I love my country once since my last confession, whatever it is. This went on 3 years, right? The pastor dies. New pastor comes along. And every guy would go come into confession. It's not just a guy thing. It's a girl thing, too. Trust me, I've heard confession for a long time. Bless you, Father, I was in, I love my country 10 times since my last confession, whatever it is. This goes on for about 6 months. One day he gets up after 6 months and he preaches on Sunday. He says, you know, we have a very patriotic parish. So hard for you to confess it. It's up to you, but you need to confess it. Some people, of course, did that with pornography. The number one addiction in America, gentlemen, is sexual addiction. Number one. And statistically, sexual addiction begins in the sixth grade with pornography. Huh? We become addicted because men, once you put the name, the mind, it becomes hardwired there. So you need some help. And there's some Catholic programs coming out now. There's a Protestant program which is free. That only costs about $50 per cap. And so what happens is, it's called Seven Counters Free. Now the problem is it's anti-Catholic. So you don't go to the website and listen to their garbage. You just go to the website and get the word of God. Because only the word of God can change and set you free. Gentlemen, those of you who've been given into this are slaves. You don't need to be a slave anymore. Jesus died on the cross to set you free. The devil likes to tell us why have you. You know the story about C.S. Lewis. I mean, C.S. Lewis wrote a good book, great book called not the Supreme Table, but it's the divorce, the great divorce. And I think so. Anyway, so in there, here's the story. And on this is a man with a lust. He has this demon of lust on his shoulder. This demon makes him do all these horrendous things. He hates him. He's been crying out because he has a chain around his neck. And next week, he hates himself because of this demon of lust. He's crying out to God. Finally, God sends an angel to him. He says, what's the matter? He says, this demon of lust that makes me do all these things. I'm so ashamed. I hate myself. And the angel says, may I kill it? Well, I don't know if you want to kill it. You know, I don't know if you want to kill it completely. Maybe you could wound it a little bit. And he says, may I kill it?
Oh, I don't know. It's not very correct to kill things.
May I kill it? And finally he goes, yes, yes, kill it. And the angel reaches up and takes a demon of lust and he crushes it. And all of a sudden this big little lust dies and gets transformed into a beautiful white stallion. And the man jumps on the stallion and the stallion takes him home to heaven. So Jesus asks you today, may I kill it? God gave you permission to take away your sin forever. And you do. We don't have to be slaves to anything. We are sons of the Father. For that, I want you to give some homework for this week. I want you to spend some time with Mark chapter 1, verse 11. Y'all can remember that, right? 1-1-1. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. The whole ministry of Jesus Christ began in Mark 1, chapter 11. Mark 1, I want you to spend an hour a day with this for the next week. You won't do it, but you need to. On Mark chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus is being baptized. The sky opens up. The Father comes down and says, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Gentlemen, we've got to do things out of love, not out of fear. The only reason you follow Jesus and don't commit any sins, so you don't go to hell, who do you love? Yourself. It's an act of selfishness. Okay, I'm not going to like it. See, gentlemen, when you're in love, like I used to tell my boys, gentlemen, you'd never, ever commit adultery against your wife, would you? Of course not, Father. Why? Because it's a commandment you shall not commit adultery? Well, no, why would you do it? especially, you know, when I spoke in Indianapolis once with Archbishop from Philadelphia now, Shabu. He was in Denver at the time. He was a speaker at the Men's Conference. And I did my 10-minute thing. You know, you can go on YouTube. And the one I did last time in Pittsburgh, the 10-minute examination of conscience, is on YouTube. It doesn't mention it. But a lot of hits go out here. But anyway, as I was done my thing, the bishop got up from the mall, he was masked, he sat there and said, did you all hear Father Larry?
Then I start a real
says in the Word of God, if you read it, it says at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus breathed on him. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Those whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound. So he gave the priest the power to forgive sins. Because every sin we commit hurts everybody. So we got to make sure we do that. And gentlemen, the number one sin that hurts others is our lack of love for them. For our families especially. So, are you a person of love in your family? Do you tell the people of love in your family that you love them, right? Years ago, one of my kids, when I was first ordained, went and where I was taking in a typewriter. We were getting ready to go out to see a movie or something. And as we're going out, he sat there, he started to go quiet. He was never that quiet. And I turned around and go, what? And here's this big kid, when he was a professional football player, who started to shake, who started to sob. And I said, what's the matter? What's the matter? Because I can't take part tears, especially from God. So I'm really like, what's the matter? What's the matter? And he says, Father, I'd do anything if my dad just told me once that he loved me. But the only thing this kid ever wanted from his dad was for his dad to tell him that he loved him. Huh? About 10 years ago, this kid calls me, and his father was dying. He called me on the phone and says, Father, can you come over and anoint him? I said, of course. And went over to his father's house, and I anointed his father. And later that night, his father died. Because I anointed him, it was because it was his time. But anyway, so, and after the funeral, I went to this big man who's now in his 40s. I said, so-and-so, did your dad ever tell you that he loved you? This big man is again starting to shake, uncontrollably sobbing. He said, never, Father. The only thing this kid ever wanted from his dad was for his dad to tell him he loved him. John, life's too short. Are you a person of love to your family? Do they know? Do you tell your wife and your kids that you love them every day? And if not, you're a widow. So soon. Some of you are looking at me and saying, well, Father, I'm German. Germans don't do that. Or some of you are looking at me, I'm Irish German, the worst combination in the world.
Oh.
If you drop dead right then, you get to go to heaven. But for some of the other blessed time you do, we kill you after confession.
Spirit.
Amen. Amen.